son of a bitch.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of No Time to Bleed. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Micah.
Hey.
All right, guys, we're back. Just the two of us this month for our monthly action movie podcast, No Time to Bleed. This episode is dedicated to the 1995 action film, Desperado. First off, I give this guy a hard time all the time on our shows, but I'm dedicating this episode to Leonardo. This episode is unbelievably Mexican, and I love it. I love this movie a lot. It's so good. It's so ridiculous. And it's one of the rare movies that takes place in Mexico where everything isn't like orange or like deeply yellow for some random reason.
Yeah, it doesn't have the American's view of Mexico, which is like all goldenrod and sepia.
Right. So this was directed by Robert Rodriguez. This is the second movie in the El Mariachi trilogy, or the Mexico trilogy, as it's sometimes called. There's a lot going on here in that trilogy, which is kind of interesting. What are your thoughts on this movie in general, Micah?
You know, I really like Robert Rodriguez, the Mexican Quentin Tarantino, or Quentin Tarantino is the white Robert Rodriguez. But I love his films because I love his films when he is unapologetically Mexican, right? And right. he's very proud of it. And I really like when people of different cultures love their culture and they love where they're from, and they love, and these are the movies that, you know, he kind of grew up on. And you can see, you know, this is a very simple story, but you can see throughout all of Robert Rodriguez's like work like this. I'm not talking about like Spy Kids and stuff like that, but right. like when he's in it, when he's in his Mexican bag, like you're in for a good time.
His Mexican bag. But he does have that. Like, he does have a Mexican bag. Like, that's true. I would prefer if Robert Rodriguez never directed a movie that took place outside of Mexico. Like, I like when he's there. Like, you're absolutely right. Like, Spy Kids is fine. Though that movie is in the Machete universe, interestingly enough.
Yeah, Machete is their uncle or some shit.
Yeah, which is fucking weird. But, like, Robert Rodriguez is like, fuck you, I'm going to do it anyway. But
again, proud of it. Like, thank you.
I mean, he started his own network, El Rey. Like, he really has done, I think he's done a good job of promoting, you know, Mexican actors and things like that. So I think it's really cool, actually. But he very much, him and Quentin Tarantino are like total homeboys, right? Obviously, he directed From Dusk Till Dawn and Tarantino wrote the screenplay for it. And they just have such a similar style. It just fucking connects, and they work really well. Tarantino is in this, like, he fucking shows up and has one of, I remember when I first saw this in 95, one of the funniest fucking jokes I've ever heard. It's just so good. But yeah, I really love this movie. I would give it I have to give it a score.
I would give it 5 blown mariachi hands out of 5.
Okay. That's not bad. I'm going to go with, 10 incredibly good looking leads out of 5. Like, Antonio Banderas and Selma Hayek are like at their fucking heights at this point. It's kind of ridiculous. I'm like it really, Robert Rodriguez was like, oh, y'all think white people are attractive? Let me find the two hottest Latin people I can on the planet to be in this movie.
Meanwhile, the white people in this movie are Steve Buscemi and Quentin Tarantino.
Right. He was like, pick the uggos. Ugliest white people.
Their hotness is accentuated by the fact that they're starring against fucking ugly people.
I mean, look, if you don't think for a second he was like, who is the hottest woman I could find? Oh, that's right. I worked with Selma Hayek before. Yeah, that's it. Like, just universally. Again, Selma Hayek is in the stratosphere of, if you don't think she's attractive, you're a racist. That's it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You're a racist. That is yes. how that works.
Selma Hayek is, she's gorgeous, man.
Yeah. Like, she is absolutely that word. 100%. And she's still super fine, which is crazy.
Yeah, she is.
She's the, her, I said this to my wife, and I 100% mean it. Her lack of perfect English actually works for me. Like, I like that she still, like, her accent is still as heavy as it is. Like, I like that about her. I'm like, fuck it. Good. Don't ever change it. Fuck that. Nope.
I mean, that's mighty white of you, but
like, I know. It's very exotic. It's a very exotic sounding accent, if you will. No, but she's a Latin actress. Like, she's not trying to be white or whatever. I love that about her.
Right. Like, they say that who's the woman from Modern Family?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yes,
the Colombian woman. I can't remember her name.
Sofia
Vergara. They say that Sofia Vergara kind of plays up that accent when she's in public because when she's around like her regular people and she's speaking English, she doesn't. The rumor is that she's not. It's not that thick,
right?
But she knows her brand,
right?
So she just does it. Which, look. I am mad at you.
I'm not mad at it. I'm not. I don't know how it's possible, but I actually think Selma Hayek is more beautiful now than she's ever been.
Yes, she is.
She's 53, and she is a fucking dynamite-looking person. Like, she just is. It's insane. She is. Yeah. She has aged incredibly well. And from what I can tell, not Hollywood eyes, not, you know, a bunch of surgeries and all the other shit. I mean, I could be wrong about that. I don't know. But she seems to just have aged well and just taken care of herself, which is great.
Yeah.
Also, she has fantastic boobs. Let's get real. Sorry, guys. Anyway, and on that same token, Antonio Banderas, also fantastic boobs. He's a perfect leading man for this movie. Like, he is. He's super fucking cool. I don't think I had seen him in anything before this. I'm actually almost positive I hadn't. No, he just super works. He's got like line delivery. He's seen slick as shit. Like, yeah, just super works.
This is like one of those movies that would play on Spike TV, right? Because Spike TV is like, yeah, we're the man channel.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, 100%.
But this is very much like a man movie, right? Like, you got this.
Yeah, this is a dick flick.
Yeah, you got this lone gunslinger who comes in to avenge the woman he loved who was murdered by a guy, and he's everything he says, he doesn't say much, but when he says it, it's fucking cool. Yeah, all right, you ready to play? Let's play.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, all right, let's do this, man. And he's every like shot, like every time he's shooting a gun, he's in like some stylized like comic book pose or some shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'll point a few of them out when we get there. But and then he meets this super fine chick, right? Like, yeah. and then it turns out the bad guy is like who he is. And I'm like, yo, this is a fucking guy movie, man.
It is, and it works so well. Like, in rewatching it for the show, like, I hadn't seen this movie probably in arguably 10, 15 years at this point. But I do recall watching it all the time when I had it on DVD back in the day. Like, I used to watch it a ton of times. I mean, I've probably seen this movie 10 times easily. But everybody is just having a blast. Like, they just are. And then, like, I like Banderas in a lot of things. Mask of Zorro, I thought he was awesome in. I'm still pissed that didn't turn out to be like a massively popular trilogy, because it really deserved it. And then the 13th Warrior, which, if people have never seen that movie, I mean, come on, that movie is fucking awesome. Equally a No Time to Bleed movie, but I don't know if a lot of people have seen it. But you should. I guess he had two Zorro movies, right? Mask of Zorro and then Legend of Zorro.
Was he in both of them? I know.
Yeah, he was in both.
I know there were a couple Zorro movies, but I can't
remember. Yeah, he was in both. I think the second one was with like Catherine Zeta-Jones. Yeah. Yeah. That's when everybody, including me, thought she was Latin. She apparently is not.
She's like Greek or something like that?
Something like that. I was like, I didn't know that. Yeah, she was in both of them. Yeah, she was a hot thing for like 9 seconds, and then she just disappeared.
Yeah, after Entrapment was done, then that was it.
That was the famous booty shot, and everybody was like, well, that was in the trailer, and people were like, I'm going to see that. And that was why I was there. And I liked that movie. It's a good spy movie or like a heist movie. All right. So let's get to it. The film opens up with a character played by Steve Buscemi named Buscemi, who walks into a bar called the Tarasco Bar in Mexico, looking the way he does.
That's an actual bar.
Oh, the Tarasco Bar? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Here's a bit of trivia I was alluding to before we started. So the first, like I said, this movie is the second movie in the El Mariachi trilogy, right? So there's El Mariachi, which was like a super low budget movie that cost like $7,000. Then there's Desperado, this one, and then
Desperado cost 1,000 times more money.
Yeah, it's a $7 million budget, which is crazy. Which is also, that's like, in Hollywood terms, is like nothing. $7 million. That's one of those like micro budget films. And then Once Upon a Time in Mexico, which was a number of years later, which had a budget of $29 million, which I did not think was good, in my opinion. But so El Mariachi, the very first one, apparently Robert Rodriguez, in order to get money to do that movie, he literally signed himself up for like medical experiments.
Oh, shit.
It was like, okay, that's crazy. Yeah. So he literally, in order to make the money for it, that's what he was willing to do. Like he took money from medical experiments and then he got some money for like a film contest, student film contest that he won, in order to make it, which is pretty crazy. The other thing that's pretty cool about that is in 2011, El Mariachi was inducted in the Library of Congress to be preserved as part of National Film Registry for being, quote, culturally, historically, and aesthetically significant. The film is also recognized by Guinness World Records as the lowest budget film ever to gross $1 million at the box office.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Production was $7,225. Post-production, when Columbia picked it up, was $200,000. They were like, all right, you need a lot of help to get this shit done. But yeah, I mean, that's just kind of a cool little bit of information just to show you how good Robert Rodriguez is on a nickel and a half budget. So the film opens up. Steve Buscemi's character, Buscemi, walks into this bar and he sits down and Cheech Marin is the bartender. So it's like, wow, this is really Mexican. Like that's just to let you know. One of the things I think is hilarious is he's like, oh, you got any beer here? And he's like, yeah, all we have is piss warm Chongo, which is apparently some disgusting brand of beer in this universe. And every time he pours it from the tap, you get like a belching noise, which is rather disgusting. And then Buscemi proceeds to give like this, tell the story of how he was at this bar a couple towns back that the biggest Mexican, according to him, the biggest Mexican you've ever seen, walks in and starts shooting up the place, basically. He's like telling like a Paul Bunyan tall tale, basically. And everybody is, you know, kind of like listening in, everybody in the bar. And he talks about how this guy was looking for someone named Bucho. And that's when everybody becomes like very interested, right? And you know, Cheech Marin is like, look, I will, oh, I'm sorry. Cheech Marin's character's name is Short Bartender, which is fucking hilarious. So he basically is like, look, I'll let you keep drinking as long as you keep telling us about this guy. And like, can you tell us what he looked like and all this other shit? One of the cooler parts, though, is as he's describing it, like he's like, yeah, every time he was walking towards the light, he would go back into darkness as if the lights dimmed for him. And it's like, I mean, it's such a great, like, ridiculous tall tale, because I don't think, one, Antonio Banderas is literally that big. Like, I think he's kind of a small guy.
I think he's like under 6 feet. Like, he's not a huge dude, right? But like, the way that the story is being told and the way he is being shot, it's really effective, man. Like, like, it's really cool, man.
It's like as if he's like El Gigante or whatever, that just a fucking 7 foot tall guy. So he's like, yeah, man, look, he tells a story, and it's like, he's like getting into it, and he's talking about how he's got this guitar case, he's got all these guns in it, and like, oh, he pulls out this fucking grenade launcher, and they're like showing this, you know, who knows how fictional or real it actually is, gunfight he's having. But he's shooting people with a grenade launcher in this bar, which is ridiculous. And so they're all kind of freaked out about it. And so then he's like, look, I'm getting out of here. Like, I'd advise you motherfuckers to go too. Like, if you see this guy, run the other way. And so then we kind of cut to the opening credits, which is El Mariachi, or Antonio Banderas' character, him and his two buddies. They're a mariachi band, and they're playing at some like bar or whatever. And it's just,
go ahead. Antonio Banderas is really playing that guitar.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah,
I wasn't sure if that was really him singing or not. That I don't know.
I would not be surprised. He seems like the type of guy that, you know, when they have like stars in Mexico, like, you kind of got to, they're all arounders. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, they're one of those people that like God just was like, you know what? You can have all the spades. You know what I mean? Like,
well, all of their bars are all the way up, like charisma. Woodworking,
right.
Gunfighting,
an ultimate creative character.
God put a cheat code on Mexican people. It's not fair. So at one point in this scene where they're playing, it's just like some white cowboys like get into a fight, and one guy pulls out a knife and is like holding a woman hostage, and of course, you find out later this is like a dream sequence, because Antonio Banderas' character just playing and singing slides across the bar and hits the guy with his guitar, knocking the blood out of his mouth and knocking him unconscious. And then he just continues playing and everyone just cheers. I'm like, okay. All the women are in there swooning over his machismo. And then it kind of becomes like this dream sequence. You see the guy who actually kills the woman he loves in the first movie. If you've
is
never
that the
seen
same
it.
Actor from the first movie?
No, I think it's just a guy who looks similar. Okay. But it might be. Who knows? I mean, they might have paid him $40 to come back.
Yeah, why not? Like, what are you doing?
Right. Literally nothing. So he's, you know, so he's kind of pulled back to this moment. Where you actually see the woman he loved like dead on the ground, and you see the villain shoot him in his hand, which is part of how the first movie ended. So then he wakes up to a knock on the door, and it's Buscemi, who, when he answers the door, he takes his gun and shoves it directly into his forehead outside the door, which is fucked up. I love that he's like, who's there? And he's like, your only friend.
Your only friend.
Yo, fuck you, man. And so basically, Buscemi's like, look, you gotta fucking take it easy. But everybody in that bar, Tarasco Bar, is very interested in who you are when I laid it on pretty thick. And so he's like, yeah, that he thinks they know where Bucho is. So Bucho is the guy who's responsible for his, the woman he loves being killed. So that's who he's been hunting, and killing people, everybody in his wake.
Yeah, killing people indiscriminately. Like, you know, I get it, though. I get it.
I mean, look, if somebody killed my wife, I'm going on. I'm going on shooting spree too. Guess what?
You can't. You can't stop me.
People got to pay for that. People got to pay for that. If I got to drive down to Mexico, I guess that's where I got to go. So while at the back at the Tarasco bar, Cheech Marin and another guy, I forget his name, they're all just kind of sitting around, and Cheech Marin is talking to Bucho on the phone about, like, you know, more drug sales or what have you. Then we get a scene at Bucho's compound. By the way, the guy who plays Bucho, Joaquin de Almeida, that guy's a pretty good villain. I like him a lot.
I love that guy. He looks like a villain. He sounds like a villain. He's going to be in Warrior Nun, so he's probably the villain.
Oh, he was in Clear and Present Danger. That's right.
He's in so much. He's in everything, right? Like, he's one of those dudes that you know his face and you've seen him before.
Oh, he's a character.
You just can't, like, you never know his name.
Yeah.
But he's a great actor and a great villain. He was Reyes in Fast Five.
Oh, shit. He was. Wow. Yeah, I mean,
but,
he's good. I actually like him a lot. And I like him a lot in this. Like, he's got some pretty choice moments, like ridiculous villain moments that I enjoyed. Like, what the fuck is the number to the phone in my car? He's so mad. And that's a valid concern, because I'd be like, how does no one know this? It's not my job to know. So back at his compound, his, like, number one guy was like, look, my nephew came in here. He wants to show you his fighting skills. He wants to join up. And he's like bullshit sparring with this guy named Papon. And Bucho's like, Papon, get the fuck out of here. Have him fight Christos. If you can't beat Christos, I don't want him. And Christos is just like a very scary cholo guy. Like, he just fucking is.
Like this dude looks like he's like a gangbanger, right? Like,
yeah.
he looks like he's from East LA, right? Yeah. And in circa 1995.
Yeah.
But he gets into this pit, right? And he starts bopping up and down, like, all right, you know, this dude, like, he can street fight, right? He can, you know, he can get down, you know, a little bit of boxing. And then all of a sudden, he starts doing roundhouses and jump kicks and shit.
He starts fucking this dude up. Yeah, I was like, wait, okay. Like, all right, Christos. That dude, like, for real, that was like some pretty solid fighting. He was beating the shit out of that guy.
Yo, he was doing some fucking taekwondo on this dude that I haven't seen since fucking Hwang in Tekken, right? Like,
yeah.
he's just like he's doing lightning legs on this dude, right? He's just like bop 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 bop. Yo, he spin kicks, breaks this kid's leg, right?
Yeah, that was pretty significant.
And then the kid turns around and fucking jump kicks him with the broken leg.
Yeah. I don't know if that killed Christos, but it certainly did some irreparable damage to him. Because he was bleeding out of his mouth pretty profusely when he went down.
Yo, he did it with the broken leg.
Like, just no regard. It's kind of funny because the movie sort of sets up like maybe that's kind of a mini story about this guy.
Yeah.
No. They're like, no. Nah, we got $7 million budget. We just wanted to show you this scene of Christos whooping this guy's ass and then him being beaten eventually. That guy's story comes to a, I would argue a very silly ending. I was like, really? That's the best move you got? I did like that when he got his leg broken, Bucho says, he'll never dance again. Like, he didn't give a fuck. You know? He was just like, whatever. Yeah, that kick at the end was just devastating. Jesus.
Oh, man.
Lovely. Yeah, so much for Christos. So I assume he killed him.
I think so. Yeah. I mean, that's what I gathered from it. You know, well, when you turn your leg into a mace,
right?
You know, you just knock somebody out. Like, I get it.
God damn. Yeah, and he's like, oh, what about my nephew? Like, he won. He's like, cast that leg up. Welcome to the family, I guess. Oh, fuck. Who cares? Like,
whatever.
Yeah, he's gonna get shot later anyway. Then we see a very familiar face now, Danny Trejo, which was awesome.
Danny Trejo might be the coolest dude ever. Yo.
He's also terrifying. Like, he's a terrifying person. Seemingly a terrifying person, but apparently he is like just one of the loveliest human beings of all time.
Yeah. One of the loveliest human beings that ever has passed through San Quentin.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that part is 100% true. Oh, interestingly enough, I did not realize that Danny Trejo was in Penitentiary 3. Wow. Yeah. I mean, yeah, he went to San Quentin. I remember seeing an interview with, I'm pretty sure it was Selma Hayek, who was saying when she did this movie with Danny Trejo, he was like everyone was like, oh, you know, this guy, he went to San Quentin. Like, they were slightly fucking with her. Like, yeah, this guy spent a lot of time in jail. Like, you know, like, be easy with this guy. Like, he's no fucking joke, right? Right. And she met him and she was like really nervous. And he's like, hey, he's like, I know you, I'm, you know, big fan or whatever. She's like, okay. He's like, I got a tattoo, looks just like you. And he opens his fucking shirt and the tattoo, like the woman on his chest looks a lot like Selma Hayek. It's not her, but she was just like, that's fucking terrifying. But yeah, he was like, apparently like super nice to her, which is great.
Of course, because he's a good dude.
Yeah. What's interesting about him though is, he apparently, if you like get in contact with him, like he'll still do student movies, like young upstart student directors. Like he'll just do your movie for you, like for free. He's like, yeah, sure. Yeah, fine.
That sounds right. Like that sounds like, I mean, I hate to stereotype, but that sounds like a Mexican dude, right? Like he's very good with the flow. Like, hey man, it's all love unless you fuck with me.
Yeah.
Then you know, I've been to San Quentin. I'll go back.
Right? Like, nah. I'm good. You know, it. Don't worry about it. It's cool. But he's had a pretty good career. Like, especially a real pickup from Desperado. I mean, it was like Desperado, and then immediately Heat, and then after that was From Dusk Till Dawn.
This dude's been in movies, video games. He owns a taco truck or something like that. Like,
wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, Danny Trejo is a good dude. Like he's the type of guy that you know, I would love to just kind of meet and just kind of talk to him.
Oh yeah,
he would talk to you too. Like he'll talk your ear off, like, because he's really happy about how his life ended up.
Yeah.
You know, he appreciates shit. He's not entitled like, you know, people who go into stores without masks, because
you would never see Danny Trejo freak out at Trader Joe's. I can tell you that.
Right. Danny Trejo would have a mask with a Fu Manchu drawn on it.
Well, and his coming out the bottom, undoubtedly. And yes, like we said, he did play the character Machete, Isidore Machete Cortez, also the same character in the Spy Kids movies, which is fucking hilarious. But he shows up as a hitman for the Colombian cartel that is sort of Bucho's boss. And he's just like, he's checking shit out. Ironically, there's posters everywhere for like voting for some guy named Gusto. And he looks just like him as he's standing next to the fucking ads, which is just hilarious.
You know how badass Danny Trejo is? Like, Danny Trejo doesn't use his fingers to dial up someone on a phone.
No.
He uses a throwing knife to dial the – he stabs the digits as he's dialing the number.
Yeah. Like, fuck that. Well, he's also practicing, you know, social distancing and, you know, other things. He's like, I don't want to get dirty. Like, come on. Look at this phone booth. It's disgusting. Yeah, his character has, I'm pretty sure, no lines. I'm pretty sure he has zero lines.
I don't think he does.
Doesn't need him. He doesn't need him. He's still a fucking great character. Doesn't even need a line.
He projects what the kids call big dick energy. But Danny Trejo is like he's like 5'5".
Yeah, he's a really small guy. Yeah.
He's a small dude. But look, I ain't saying that. Look, I ain't fucking with that dude, yo.
I'm good.
Get the fuck out of here.
I'm good. I forget he. At one point, he played someone's like. I want to say he plays somebody's dad on like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or some shit like that.
He was in. I think he was in one of them Harold and Kumar movies. Also, he was like Harold's girlfriend's dad. Some shit.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'm trying to think what the fuck show was it? Like he's on one of these shows that like I watched like fairly recently, and it was just like that is a really weird show for you to be on. But yeah, he like played like somebody's maybe it was like Brooklyn Nine-Nine or something like that. But he plays yeah, he like played somebody's dad, like one of the characters' dads or something. It was just pretty funny.
Oscar Diaz is who he played.
Oh, I think he plays the tough Latin chick's dad. I think that's what it is, which makes sense. I have a total crush on her. She's amazing. So he's like dialing up the phone, I guess, to talk to the Colombians to let them know that he's in the little town. We cut back to the Tarasco bar. Where these three white women are complaining because we've been waiting for service for like 20 minutes and don't tell us our waiter went back to the bathroom. like they're freaking out. Meanwhile, the guy sitting at the bar with Cheech Marin is like, he's got a book and he's like showing Cheech Marin, like, I got this gun. Like, just shoot these women, which is great. And he's like, no, let's just let them talk. And then the best line is as she's leaving, she's like, and your beer tastes like piss. And he's like, we know because we piss in it. And the other guy goes, and that's not all. Which is just fucking great. I'm sure like they were just drinking beer, hanging out at a bar. Like they didn't like they if they even had a script for those guys, I would be shocked to know that. I'd be shocked.
Apparently, Steve Buscemi and Cheech Marin, they did all their shots very quickly because Cheech Marin was only available for 6 days and Steve Buscemi was only available for 7, which is one of the reasons why during the big shootouts in the bar, you don't see Cheech Marin because, you know, he wasn't there.
Oh, interesting. I mean, hey, I get it. But to have both of them, I mean, adds more credibility to the cast. So I mean,
absolutely.
I don't feel like they were missed in those gunfight scenes.
No, they served the exact roles they were supposed to.
Absolutely. Then we get these two guys who come in. One of them is sort of a random Mexican actor I don't know. And then the other one is Quentin Tarantino. He shows up and he's like, he plays a guy referred to as the pickup guy.
Quentin Tarantino is just doing the most with very little. You know what I mean? He's like, his delivery and his lines is like it's so Quentin Tarantino like because he's just weird, but at the same time, like. like when he drinks the beer.
Yeah.
Like his reaction, it almost makes me think that they actually did something to it and didn't tell him. Because at the right when the scene cuts, you could tell he's got this big smile on his face, like he's about to laugh.
Oh yeah,
he's hysterical.
I actually like his character a lot in this. He's very good.
He's a bit of a scene stealer in the scenes that he's in. So it's this introduction is so funny to me.
But what's actually really quite funny about this is, yeah, he is kind of a scene stealer, and he wants to be fucking cool so bad, right? Like,
yeah, he does. That's it. He's trying too hard to be cool.
Right, but it works for this particular character. Like, even when he walks in, he does it. Like, he does the thumb on the nose thing, like no big deal. Like, he wants to be so fucking cool in this moment, because I think he also realizes, like, this is a cool fucking movie, right? Like, it's like the hero's cool. Like, everything about it is not what you see in normal American action movies. Like, yeah. But yeah, so if it feels cool, you feel like you're like on the ground floor or something cool. And it's his buddy doing it. So, you know, he wants to, I'm sure, help him out. And keep in mind, like, this is before like Dusk Till Dawn, right? Like, that came after this. So for Tarantino to do this, and, you know, like, clearly he had some sort of relationship with Rodriguez, but he was like, all right, I'll be in your movie if you direct mine. Which is pretty dope. Like, that, I mean, that says a lot about the faith that Tarantino had in Rodriguez, which is pretty cool.
So, though Quentin Tarantino wasn't initially cast in the movie, the character that he plays is based on him. Steve Buscemi was originally cast in that role, but when Tarantino expressed an interest, he was immediately given the part. So, we could have seen Steve Buscemi in that role. Here's I always love these. I always love when IMDb has these. Who else could have played certain parts?
Right.
Jennifer Lopez auditioned to be Carolina, the Selma Hayek character.
I could see it. I prefer Selma Hayek, but I could see it.
I can't.
let me rephrase that. I can see Jennifer Lopez in the outfits from this okay, movie.
Yeah. All right. But Jennifer Lopez,
she's too Americanized.
I hate to brown check, right? But she doesn't come off as quote unquote authentic to me. And I mean that with the utmost respect, right? Like, I understand who she is and where she's from.
Yeah, she's from the block. Everybody knows it.
Right. But I think Selma Hayek was the better choice.
I mean, Selma Hayek was born in Mexico. Like, Jennifer Lopez is a very – I mean, and there's nothing wrong with it. Like, she's – I think she's Puerto Rican, right? Like, she's Puerto Rican. Puerto Rican descent. Yeah, like – but she's Puerto Rican American, right? Like, there is a very – just a different – I don't know. Like, it would just come off different. Also, yeah. Jennifer Lopez doesn't have an accent.
Yeah, well, she's got a New York accent because she was born in New York.
Right, like, so. Not really trying to have El Mariachi hanging out with a Mexican woman by way of Brooklyn. Like, come on, that's silly. No, it definitely worked better. I think it is absolutely 100% better that Selma Hayek played that role. She comes off as way more authentic.
So. Robert Rodriguez had a second choice to play El Mariachi if Antonio Banderas turned the role down. Do you want to guess, or you want me to just flat out tell you?
Mexican actor? I don't know.
John Leguizamo.
Nigga, what? I mean, later John Leguizamo, like as he is now, I could see it.
Yes, 100%. But like Super Mario Brothers, John Leguizamo,
the Pest, John Leguizamo. No, yo, he's like known as like the most annoying guy in Hollywood for a while. Now, that would have been an interesting turn for him because that would have given him a more dramatic role way earlier in his career.
Yeah, I mean, it could have turned him into an action star. You know what I mean?
Which is a weird thing to say. The Violator, like, Yeah, no, I think Banderas is a better choice again, but that would have been interesting. I mean, but yeah. John Leguizamo is now like a legitimate dramatic actor.
He's really good, man.
He really is. In When They See Us, Jesus Christ, he was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that. Yeah. I mean, maybe Rodriguez saw something in him that like clearly we didn't at the time.
And Bucho, there was another person cast as Bucho.
No idea.
I was trying to make a Street Fighter joke, but I can't. It was Raul Julia. But he pulled out because his health. His health was failing. And he died shortly after the release of this film.
Yeah.
But again, that would have been...
That could have worked.
Yeah, it absolutely could have worked. Because Raul Julia, while he has been in some silly roles...
And also Street Fighter, yes.
he is 100% a thespian, which is why he can do those silly roles and give the and make them like memorable. Nobody remember the only thing people remember about that fucking Street Fighter movie is but for me it was a Tuesday, and that's because that guy grasped the silliness of the material, right? He was the only one that I think got the joke. You know?
Yeah, nobody else got the joke. No one else did. Maybe Van Damme, but probably not.
No, absolutely not. Van Damme was drunk off his ass throughout the whole movie. You can just look at him and tell. He did not get. Bison said he's taking over the world, but we can go home. Who wants to go with me?
He was fucking wild on the production of that movie. Jesus. Good Lord. So then we see El Mariachi. He's heading over to the Tarasco bar. He runs into this kid who also wants to be a guitarista. And he shows him like how to play or play a little bit better, and play faster. I have to assume that if this movie was made now, that Leonardo would be cast as this young man. That feels right. But I don't know if Leonardo is old enough to play the character. So the kid actually says, like, hey, my dad doesn't work. He stays at home watching TV all day. So he doesn't show me how to play the guitar or what have you. So that becomes relevant later on. So then we see see the joke, the great joke of the movie, which is Tarantino's character talking to the bar, the bartender, and he's like, look, let me tell you a joke. This reminds me, this beer that tastes like piss reminds me of this great joke. And the joke basically goes, there's a guy who goes up to the bartender and he's like, hey, I'll bet you $300 that I can piss in this glass across the room without spilling a drop. And the bartender's like, all right, like $300. The guy tries and he completely misses. He's pissing all over the bar. He's pissing all over the bar floor, all over the bartender, everywhere. This piss is going everywhere. And then when he's done, the guy's like, you owe me $300, puta. And he goes, okay, I'll be right back. Goes over to some people in the back of the bar, has a whisper conversation with them, comes back, gives the guy $300. And the bartender's like, well, what the hell are you smiling at? You just lost $300. He's like, yeah, I bet those guys in the back that I could piss all over your bar, on your bar, even piss on you. And not only would you not be mad, you'd be happy about it. And it's a pretty good joke. And the very first time I heard it, I laughed my ass off. Like, this shit's funny. And his delivery of that joke is very good.
Yeah.
And immediately after that, snap right back into reality. The bartender's like, your boy didn't check out. And he just fucking shoots the other guy in the head, killing him immediately.
Quentin Tarantino with a mouthful of piss beer.
Yeah.
just with the best facial expressions, like,
And he's got blood covered over him now from the guy getting shot. And he's like, you checked out just fine. And he's like, yeah, I thought I would.
He's like, I don't even know that guy, man.
Yeah, he goes, I met him earlier today. I'm like, that is unfortunate. Then they go back, and he shows him, like, the operation, I guess, or, like, back where they're, like, making the drugs. Then we see El Mariachi walk into that bar, and everybody sees him because they heard the Buscemi story. And he's like, what do you got in the case? And he's like, my guitar. Like, what the fuck? It's a guitar case. And he's like, look, you can drink here as long as you want, as long as you let us check out that case. And he's like, okay, okay. And they like kind of grab him up and they open the case and there's a guitar there. And he's like, yeah, see, no problem. And then it opens after a few seconds, the top of the guitar opens because it's like a false guitar and you see all these guns. And I love this moment because it's so good. He's like, yes, yes, it's me. But I don't have a problem with you guys. Like, relax. Everybody relax. And, like, you can feel the tension ratchet up. Like, the music starts ratcheting up. And then he does the fucking coolest shit. Like, I don't know what the bartender says in Spanish. But I guess it's, like, get him or some shit like that. Or kill him. And he just stops. And it's, like, that very comic book moment. He's like, not yet. And then he pulls out the guns out of his sleeves and starts like shooting people. It's a fucking awesome moment. Like,
this scene is the first like really big fucking action scene. And yeah. It's awesome. Cause like you said, he's got the hidden guns in his sleeves and shit. Right. And then, you know, this cool motherfucker, he can't just shoot somebody fucking. First of all, he's shooting people akimbo. Right. Like, yeah. That's fucking that to be accurate shooting akimbo is impossible, is very difficult. And the motherfucker is shooting sideways, right? Which is also incredibly difficult.
Across.
He crosses his hands while shooting sideways because it looks cool.
Yeah, like, that's it. It just looks cool.
He grabs a dude, uses him as a human shield, and then spins the motherfucker around as he dives out of cover. Meanwhile, all the guys are shooting him, and it's like a weird blood fountain, just sprinkling blood all over the place as this guy spins around and as he's getting shot. You know, it's really cool, man.
Yeah, it's a good scene, and he just proceeds to take on everybody at this bar.
Every like movement that Antonio Banderas is doing is for the sake of looking cool and not practical in any way, shape, or form.
None of it. None of it. He would have been super murdered in this bar fight.
Like, at one point, he gets up on the bar, right? He shoots a guy with one hand. Quickly turns around, shoots him with another, takes the first hand, puts it behind his back, and fucking shoots a guy.
Right, because the bar is a circle bar through a room. And so there are guys coming in on the other side of the bar. Yeah, dude, this scene is so fucking good. He is having a blast. He is having a fucking blast. Also, there is a scene where he's literally using the guns, like he's trying to curve the bullet. Like, he is
snapping
the guns as he's shooting. That makes no sense at all. But goddamn it, does it look fucking cool in the moment. But yeah, Banderas is having a blast.
It's like the bullet's stuck in the gun and he's trying to whip it out.
I like in that moment, he's shooting and then he runs out of bullets and he's just like, shit. He just jumps. But he has time. While being shot at with automatic guns, he has time to say shit and dive off the bar without being killed. That is not a thing.
And doesn't like just dive off. No, he leaps in the air. He jumps up and down, not just like diving into the bar. Because every movement that El Mariachi does is for the sake of looking cool.
Yeah. And I can respect that.
He dives under the bar. He jumps. He uses the bartender as a platform to jump over the bar to reach the rest of his stash. Yo, this is some Devil May Cry Dante shit.
Yeah, it's just complete nonsense, but it's so good.
He reloads his gun, right? He turns around. He's on his back. A guy jumps up in the air and is about to shoot him.
No, dude. Like, dude, that scene is insane.
He catches him with his feet while on his back, leg presses the dude. That's why you never skip leg day.
Yep.
He leg presses the dude, pushes him off of his legs, and starts fucking shooting, dude. Come on, man. Come on.
Come on. I mean, there is a moment that's actually kind of funny as the guy is being shot in the air. If you go back and watch it, you can actually see his jacket opens. You can actually see the squibs that are like taped to his shirt, which is just pretty funny.
You know, it's only 1,000 times more expensive than the first movie,
right? Not 10,000 times, right? At one point, there's a guy on the opposite end of the bar who has a machine gun. Or some sort of Uzi or whatever, who is shooting at him. And he has time to reload because this guy is such a piss poor shot. And he yells like, "Miss me!" And the guy is like trying to reload, but he's standing under a fan. El Mariachi then perfectly aims a shot, hits the fan. The fan smashes into that guy's head.
You see the impact, dude. Like, they show you the impact of the fan hitting this guy's head. Like, stunt people don't get enough credit, dude. Like, if you go back and watch that scene, the way it's shot with the camera on the floor.
Filming, wow.
right, filming. The guy is between the camera and the fan as the fan falls down while spinning and hits this dude. Like, it's, yo. It's so fun.
Yeah, that scene is a blast. I just think it's just so much fun. Then the bartender, Cheech Marin, he tries to get up and get his gun to shoot El Mariachi. Of course, El Mariachi sees him and he's like, "Yeah, and I don't want to shoot you. Just take me to Bucho, basically." And just as he's about to do that, a guy from the back comes out with a gun with a silencer on it and tries to shoot him, but hits the bartender right in the forehead, killing him immediately, thus ending Cheech Marin's 6-day contract on the filming of this movie. then the guy from the back and El Mariachi proceed to have a all-out gun battle as they're shooting Uzis across the bar at each other. And again, all for the desire for this to look good, there is a scene where the guy from the other side of the bar runs, dives onto the bar to slide to try to shoot El Mariachi, as El Mariachi has the exact same idea, and he slides, and they come right up against each other, but they're both out of bullets. And then they're just like, "Ooh, okay, all right." And it's ridiculous. But who doesn't love this scene? Because it's so funny. And they're like, all right, no problem. And they both get off the bar, and they immediately try to pick up one of the many guns that are on the ground from all the dead people. And El Mariachi, like they try it like 2 or 3 times, and he's like, "Look,
this is a beautiful twist on like a Mexican standoff, right?
Yes, like, with no guns." but I like right before they start picking up guns, he's like, "Hey, if you want to go, go. If you want to stay, chill, like, relax." And then the guy's like, "Nah, fuck that," and he just tries to pick up a gun and shoot him, and he's out of bullets, and so it's El Mariachi, and then they do it again. They do it 3 different times, and then they just start fighting over this one handgun, and El Mariachi gets the gun away and then breaks the guy's neck yelling, "Fuck you," which was great. But I'm pretty sure it's harder to break a guy's neck than that, but whatever. It's fine.
Yeah.
But again, it's all for looking cool. Then he leaves the bar. By the way, not a scratch on him. Not a scratch on him. He just killed like 30 dudes in a dirty bar that's about 5 feet wide. Not one bullet hits this guy. Then he has a moment where he's walking down the street. The other guy that was in the back of the bar, after killing Quentin Tarantino's character because he thought that El Mariachi was with him, he's following him down the street. And this is like the woman in red scene from The Matrix, right?
Yeah.
El Mariachi's walking down the street. He's got his guitar case of guns. And he sees Selma Hayek's character, Carolina. And she is like, she's so fine that she literally causes a traffic accident. Which makes sense. I mean, good God.
I mean, look, you know, I mean, that's the most realistic thing in this movie.
Yeah. Like these dudes were like, they just run in their cars into each other trying to take a look at Selma Hayek. I get it. I mean, makes all the sense in the world to me. So he sees her as she's walking by him, and just as she's about to walk by him, the guy from the bar starts running up. He's got, let's say, a 45 in one hand and a Desert Eagle in the other, which is just a unnecessarily large handgun. So he tries to kill El Mariachi. He shoots him in the shoulder, but he grabs Selma Hayek or Carolina and gets her out of the way, and she almost gets shot again. And then he wrestles with that guy, takes his two guns, and puts them up to the guy's neck and ends up shooting him, I assume blowing his head clean off with a Desert Eagle.
Yeah, because what the fuck, yo? Like that doesn't seem like enough brain matter splattered on Antonio Banderas' face.
Yeah, no, that would have been a disaster. So he gets carted off because he's been shot in the shoulder.
In the shoulder.
After all that, he gets one shot to the shoulder. Which might have been with a Desert Eagle. So it's probably a lot of damage, actually.
Yeah. Well, if it was with a Desert Eagle, his shoulder should have been blown. His arm should have been blown off.
Clean off. Right. The one arm Mexican bandit for the rest of the movie. Then we see Bucho and his guys. They get to the Tarasco bar and see all these dead people. He's like, where's Tavo? And he's like, oh, one of his guys like, oh, he's two blocks away. And he's like, well, get his ass in here. He's like, he's dead. That motherfucker ain't got no head. that's a wrap. And so he's pissed, right? Cause he's like, look, this guy has been fucking up my operations in all these bars. El Mariachi left a note that said looking for Bucho. He left that on the bodies before he bounced. These white teenagers come in and they're just like, oh, what's going on? Is this a Trader Joe's? Bucho's like, can't you see we're fucking closed? And I love how like all of his henchmen were like, they just let these white kids come in. Like nobody was like, just move along. There's a bunch of dead bodies. But I think that was just an opportunity for Bucho to yell at white people, which, yeah, I'm cool with that.
I mean, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, no, I get it. So then we see El Mariachi wake up as he's getting his shoulder worked on by Carolina in her bookstore cafe. And it's really disgusting as they're showing his shoulder getting fixed up. And she's just doing it because it was in one of the books that she has. That's how she learned to do it. Okay. I guess. She literally pulls off part of his arm and she's just like, I don't know. And just like tosses it.
I'm looking for this bullet. I'll find it eventually.
Yeah. It's a fucking slug. And then she kind of gives her story like, oh, her parents passed and they left her this building and some money and and it's the only bookstore. So she's trying to get people to read and all this other shit. And she's a lovely person, and she's trying to help. And she pulls the bullet out. And then he goes to drink some water, and she's like, oh, that's hot water. And he's just like, fuck. And he's like, oh, here's the cold water. He's like, what are you trying to do to me? Meanwhile, the hot water was in a cup. The cold water was in a bowl. Why would you do that? And it was like a funny little sort of comedic moment. And, you know, she then lights a cigarette to cauterize the wound, which was fucked up, but very helpful. She figures out that he's El Mariachi when she opens his guitar case and sees all the guns in it. And then he tells her, like, his whole thing. I don't remember. I guess maybe it was used in the first one, but I think it definitely was used in the third one. The gun that he has that was like, looks like a dick and balls.
The dick gun. The penis gun. I thought I had something. The same penis gun that Sex Machines used in From Dusk Till Dawn can be seen in this movie.
That's right.
In the guitar case. Where Carolina looks at it, El Mariachi says, it saved my life many times.
Like, I guess. Yeah, that's right. I couldn't remember. I knew it was one of his movies that he had that in. It's utterly ridiculous, but yes, sure, why not? Then back at El Bucho's house, that random guy who uses his leg as a mace, he's joining a team of bad guys to try to go hunt down El Mariachi. Then we see Antonio Banderas at a church, and he's giving a confessional to Steve Buscemi, who's like, you're going to get yourself killed. Stop doing this. Like, payback is enough. Like, you know, like, just take it easy, man. Just fucking take it easy. You didn't have to kill everyone at the Tarasco bar. He's like, well, kind of had to. So sorry about that. And so Steve Buscemi's like, look, I'm out. Like, fuck this. I'm not risking my life. Bucho finds out that the Colombian cartel has sent somebody to kind of take care of the El Mariachi situation. He gets pissed. He wants to know what this guy looks like, so nobody gets killed by mistake. And this is the scene where he's like, okay, what's the number to the phone in my car? And his guys are like, I don't know. And then he says, hey, fuckheads, what is the number to the phone in my car? Because he wants to call his number one guy who's driving his limo around and tell him to look out for this guy. And then he has this whole thing where he points a gun into the air at his compound and yells, you know, what's the number to the phone in my car? And nobody knows. And it's just, it's a funny moment. But he's also a complete and utter psychopath. Which I appreciate.
Because he'll fucking kill you.
Yeah, he don't give a fuck. Just doesn't care. So as Steve Buscemi and El Mariachi are walking down the street, Danny Trejo's character sees them, and he knows who El Mariachi is, and he just proceeds to open up his vest, and he's got mad throwing knives. And he just starts chucking them, immediately killing Steve Buscemi and injuring El Mariachi. This would not have killed people. I don't know why they gave him small throwing knives. Because they, like, he throws throwing knives and hits Steve Buscemi twice in the chest, killing him immediately, hitting Antonio Banderas three different times, does not kill him.
Once in the shoulder, once in the forearm, and once in the spine, guys. Ugh. The spine.
Right. If it'll hit you and kill you in the chest, he wouldn't be able to walk.
But you know what? It looks cool.
It looks cool. Does it make sense? No, it doesn't make sense. He immediately kills another guy right after that. Like, a limo pulls up. It's Bucho's guys. They pull up. They don't know who he is, so they try to kill him. he immediately throws two knives into a guy, killing him. And then he attacks their limo, killing a number of them. And then, of course, he gets killed.
Yo, it's so, like, again, every movement that every person does is just for the sake of looking cool, right? Like, and this, and Danny Trejo is no exception. I'm glad that Danny Trejo, because I remember he wasn't like prominent in this thing, but I forgot that he was allowed to be a badass.
Yeah,
in it, and I'm glad to see Danny Trejo just like be a badass with fucking one of the more impractical. And you know me, I'm a knife guy,
right?
I love them, but a knife ain't gonna beat a gun, guys.
No, it'll get you killed. It will get you fucking killed. But apparently in Mexico, that's how shit goes. Like you throw a throwing knife in someone's chest, it's a fucking wrap. That's it. Then they take the Bucho's guys. They bring back Danny Trejo back to the compound. They're like, hey, you're welcome. We got your fucking guy. There's your El Mariachi right here. And so they throw him down, and Bucho is on the phone with the Colombian cartel as they're telling him what their guy looks like. And he's like, oh, tattoo on the chest. Does he have any weapons? And they're like, yeah, he's got throwing knives. They're like, okay. And
he's got coins for making phone calls.
And like, they're just like, okay, well, keep an eye. We'll keep an eye out. We'll look for him. It's like, yeah, that's clearly the guy you just fucking murdered, you idiots. Which is just, again, very funny. Then we see El Mariachi. He sees that kid again and finds out that kid's been trafficking drugs, was switching guitars for these drug dealers. And he's pretty pissed about it. Then that little kid tells him that Carolina does the same thing. He goes over to Carolina's and he's like really pissed at her that she would take this drug money and how awful that was. She's trying to patch him up because he's got all these new very deadly knife scars.
Right. He's got a bunch of shoulder wounds.
Right.
I do like the scene of Antonio Banderas' character. He has to lean up against the wall because he's injured, but all the blood is smearing on the walls.
Yeah, it's a cool shot. It's a cool shot.
It's a very cool shot, man.
That's a very comic booky kind of shot, right? Yeah. Like the wounded hero kind of thing. Then we see a scene where while he's at the bookstore, Bucho comes in and he hides, right? Like Carolina literally pushes him off the bar to hide him and pretends to knock a register over. And you see this, it's actually a great scene. Bucho is sitting there talking to Carolina and hidden behind the bar, El Mariachi he's literally trying to reload his gun and being like super quiet about it. He's like, oh, this is going to be so fucking good. He's like, ooh. Like he's like trying so hard not to make any noise, but also like really wants to murder this guy. Bucho leaves. El Mariachi doesn't do anything. And then she goes outside and sees Bucho give money to like a bride of during their wedding and everything else. And she's like, oh, there is a good side to him, as she's telling Antonio Banderas later on as she's patching him up. He's like, there is no good side to that guy. Fuck that guy. And so then she is just throwing it at him.
Yeah. Yeah. She's basically like, hey, you know what a Hurricane Rana is? Like, let me do it to your face.
Yeah. And he's like, willing and ready. Yeah. Like, yes, I've got these knife wounds, but, you know, my dick gun still works, girl. So, she's like, oh, can you teach me how to play the guitar while you're shirtless and I lean on you and like get all in your face? And he's like, yeah, I think I could probably show you a couple chords, right? Probably do a little bit. And again, like, it's kind of interesting because normally in these type of movies, like the cool guy says something cool and the woman's like, oh, and then she just like her panties just melt right off. But in this, like, she's like really like, I want to fuck you. And he's like, oh, okay. Yeah. I hear you. I'm down. I'm reading you loud and clear, Selma Hayek.
I concur.
Yeah. You know what? You're making a lot of good points. And so, yeah, they start to have sex. And it's interesting. Like, this sex scene is like, I wouldn't say explicit, but it's pretty good.
Erotic.
It's very Skinamax.
And it is completely juxtaposed by the very next scene.
I actually love that. I don't think I ever noticed that originally. Like, this scene to Bucho's sex scene immediately after is pretty funny. But you do, I mean, like, they literally show them in, like, different positions. You get, I assume, a real shot of Selma Hayek's boobs, which was a number one.
Hey, you know what? I've heard that it might be a body double. I don't believe you.
I don't even care about that. Whoever it was, that's fair. We even get a scene of El Mariachi running his spur across Selma Hayek's ass.
Yeah, they're doing spur play.
As you do in Mexico. Yeah, and then it's, like you said, it's juxtaposed to the sex scene with Bucho and this woman.
Yo, this woman is riding Bucho. Right?
Yo, he don't give a shit.
Like, look at the way he smacks her ass, right? Just with the most indifference that she could possibly... All right, hurry up. Like, meanwhile, he's smoking a cigar. It does just one of the nastiest things. Like, this woman is kissing him up and down. He takes a drag off the cigar. She didn't see it because she's fucking kissing his nipples or whatever. And she kisses him, and he blows the smoke into her mouth.
You know, and cigar smoke stinks. It does. She's riding him. She's not even naked. She's got underwear on. She's just dry humping him. Apparently he was not impressed. Oh, shit. That's just funny. Like,
he was like, I got someone else on my mind right now.
Yeah. Literally anyone. Literally anyone but you. And he's like, he makes a phone call and he's like, he's in the bookstore. I'm sure of it. That's why she was acting weird. And so he's like, oh, it's a bookstore. Just burn it down. Who gives a fuck? And that is and so the we cut to the next scene of these guys coming to kill El Mariachi at Selma Hayek's apartment, which is above the bookstore. Here's how good their sex must have been the night before. This dude was asleep, and she is just playing the guitar for him. And singing to him to wake him up. That's how good Antonio Banderas put it down the night before. That's amazing. That's never happened to me.
Look, and it ain't never gonna happen to me.
No, my wife can't sing for shit. I don't need that. No, I don't need that. I don't need to. I like, one of my biggest things is like, don't sing to me. Please don't. I hate it.
You and me both.
Yeah, I'm like, you're not good.
Yeah, my wife can't carry a tune, which is funny because her mother is like sang opera.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Yeah.
Can't fucking buy a tune, man. Get out of here. No, my wife literally says she sings in the key of her last name. She's like, it's its own thing.
I was about to say, Do, Re, Mi, Fa. I don't remember that one.
Nope, being there. It ain't in there. It ain't. Trust me. So it's kind of a cool scene because you've got him. He's got both guns. One is a handheld sawed off shotgun handgun of all weapons, which is fucking dope. And he's got that, and he's got like a regular like 45 or something, in the other hand. And these two guys, he can see silhouettes of two people as they're moving closer and closer towards each other, towards the center, which would be directly behind the very lovely singing Selma Hayek, who still has her eyes closed and is singing, does not realize all this is happening, which is, again, very silly and doesn't make sense. He kicks her off the bed and then shoots both of these guys, killing them, of course, not being shot. Then, after killing a couple more guys who walk through, we have this scene where he's like, come on, come on, come on, we gotta go, we gotta go. And she's like running back and forth as he's like trying to throw her clothes, and she puts like on mismatched shoes.
Like they're late for the airport.
Right, exactly. Let's go. And he gives her one of his guns, which he can barely hold, because it's so heavy. You know, he's such a man. it's really quite silly. She tells him to wait a second so she can put on her second pair or her other shoe. And he's like, you look great. And she's like, yes, thank you. Like, whatever. We're almost being murdered. She's like, where are we going? He's like, downstairs, out the front. They go downstairs through the bookstore, and the bookstore is on fire. And all of her, you know, all of her life's work, all of her parents' money is gone. They head back upstairs. There's a guy shooting at them. Somehow he misses them. She pulls up the sawed-off shotgun handgun. And shoots that guy dead to rights in the chest, one shot. Meanwhile, he was standing at the top of the stairs and couldn't hit two people. I guess he was a part of the Mexican stormtroopers program. They head to the roof. We get kind of a scene that doesn't make any sense, but is aesthetically pleasing, and is very much out of a comic book.
Like, they're on the roof. I think Selma Hayek is thrown to the other building.
No. You're skipping a very important part, which is he grabs her, embraces her, gives her a very passionate kiss, very comic booky. And then
that's how you transfer badassness from one person to another. It's tongue kissing.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, right? If you don't think about it. And then she proceeds to he kisses her, she takes off her shoes, and he's like, "All right, go." And then he runs with her, and she jumps over to the next roof, and while he shoots down at guys in the alley who are waiting for him. He throws his guitar case across. Two guys open the door of the roof he is on. Somehow they miss him because he's standing right there. Somehow they miss him. He is standing on the edge of the roof backwards.
Like on the balls of his feet.
Yes.
Like the balls of his feet are the only things that are on the ledge of the roof that he is on.
He proceeds to push off the roof, shoot both of the guys on that roof, on said roof, and then fall backwards onto the lower roof, the next one, which doesn't make any sense because he would have slammed his back directly onto that building and died. But whatever. He then grabs two grenades out of his guitar case and throws them down in the alley, blowing up those guys, and walks away from the explosion because tough guys don't look at explosions.
I want to go back to him jumping backwards while...
Yes, let's go back to that impossible feat.
Pistolas in the air. He jumps, right? And first of all, he jumps and makes it. Right?
Right. Knock it off.
Like Selma Hayek, who has just had badassness transferred into her, had to have a running start in order to do it. But no, not this dude. He's standing on the balls of his feet. And as we have seen, he does not skip leg day. He immediately jumps backwards, right? He jumps backwards. He shoots the one dude in the neck while in the air while horizontal, right? And he's firing multiple times. Then it cuts to at about 1 hour and 17 minutes and 5 seconds. It cuts to him falling.
Yes.
Like he's no longer, like, gravity has kicked in and he's no longer jumping horizontally. He is falling vertically. Yet he is still able to kill these dudes while on a plane.
I mean, look, Micah, again, his bars are all the way up. They've been moved all the way up. He can do anything.
And then, like you said, he throws down two grenades, which, by the way, grenades aren't bombs, guys. Like, they're not like they don't cause explosions this big unless you are El Mariachi, and then it's like, you know, dynamite soaked in nitroglycerin.
Yo, the explosion is mad huge. And I just love how they're just like so cool when they walk away, like, yeah, should we check to see if anyone's dead? No, don't worry about it. Hell yeah. Other guy on the roof is alive. Like, that guy's alive. And you guys are just walking away like it's not a big deal.
Like, I feel my balls getting bigger as I watch these two walk away from this giant fucking explosion. This is a man who loves his fucking people, man.
Yeah. And no, he is all about just showing them doing badass shit.
And I am 100% here for it.
Yep. Then they're just hanging out on the roof across the street from the bookstore. For some reason, no one thought to check this roof that they're on. And, like, they're so close.
That's where the napalm was.
Right. Like, they're so close that they're talking on the roof. I'm like, they're going to hear you. Like, they're not that far. And so she's like, oh, that's Bucho. And he had his back to them. And Antonio Banderas pulls out, he's got a handgun with a scope on it. And then when Bucho turns around, he sees him and then he refuses to shoot him.
Yeah. And you're like, and some hires like, yo, what the fuck, yo? Like, he's right there.
Right. Cause she's like, right there. Right. Cause she's gone from he's a good person to he destroyed everything. So, you should kill him, shoot him right now. She's like, my whole life was in there. Like, murder that guy. And he's like, no, fuck that. And he walks away and she's yelling at him and he pushes her away and everything else. And then he climbs up to like go onto the next roof and he's like, he puts his hand down to pull her up. And like he's reluctant, but he's still pissed. Then we see a scene of, Bucho who just delivers this is a great moment. And he's like, I can understand how you can't find a guy who's in a city, right? I can understand you losing a guy in a city. That makes sense. I can't understand how you lose a guy when you know where he is. He's like, how hard is it to drive around, see someone you don't know, and shoot them? And he grabs a Desert Eagle from his number one guy, and he's like pointing it at all the henchmen. He's like, look over there. I don't recognize that guy. And all these guys just were like, yep, I'm out. And then they just leave this poor guy standing there by himself. And he's like, that must be him. And just shoots the guy and kills him. And it was just like, see, I don't see what's so hard about that. And all these guys are like, it's kind of fucked up. And Bucho is like, killing that one guy really wasn't enough. He's like, you know what? Fuck this.
I don't seem to recall any of you people.
Yeah. Yeah. And they all go fucking running as he just starts firing a Desert Eagle into a crowd. Because, again, he is a crazy person.
Yo, if I'm that dude, they got singled out. Like, I'm not going to just – I got to at least reach for my gun, right?
Yeah, no, you got to try to kill him.
Come on.
I mean, you're going to get murdered anyway.
Right.
Like he's going to let Bucho shoot me in front of my friends. Like, what the fuck? Also, yo, if people starting to part, pick a side. Don't stand in the middle.
Yeah, yo, no.
Ah, fuck that. That dude was way too tall. He would have been too obvious. So back at like some CD hotel or whatever, Carolina's like, why don't you call your friends? Like Kempa and Kino. It's like, you know, maybe they can help you. And he's like, ah, they would tear up the city. They would destroy it. And she's like, maybe somebody needs to. And so he calls Kempa and Kino, his two buddies, who he used to be in the mariachi band with. And he says, you know, make sure you bring your guitars. And this is where the movie gets re-goddamn ridiculous. Because apparently, I guess when you learn to play the guitar, you also get outfitted with specific guitar cases that have either a series of handguns, machine guns, or a rocket launcher. Because that is literally what happens in this movie. These two guys show up, and they proceed to go to war with Bucho's guys. And like, it's kind of cool, right? Like the one guy's got, he's got dual guitar cases. The other guy's got another single guitar case, and they meet up, and then here comes El Mariachi to stand in the middle of them. Like, you know, buddies reunited again. And they see, guys come up, and Mariachi is just like, all right, let's play. And then they proceed to have a fucking gunfight with these guys using guitars.
Again, such a fucking man movie, right? Like your girl who's like ride or die. She was like, hey, why don't you call up your friends? Like, I don't know. My boy's kind of wild. It's like, nah, but you need help. She's like, you know what? You're right. You ain't nothing without your friends. You call up your boys. You call up your posse. Each of them. Nobody knows their name. Who cares? It's your story, right?
Right.
But just to know, just to let people know your boys are serious. They get their own like little walking up intros and shit. Like
right.
They just walk from miles upon miles upon miles. Just to meet up with you because that's what real friends do. Doesn't matter what the fuck their names are. Lives are expendable because they're your boys. They'll die for you. And then you meet up. You haven't seen them in a long time. And then it's like, all right, let's play.
I do like the fact that, like, I remember when I first saw this, I was like, oh, shit, that dude's got two machine guns in there. That's awesome. And then I was like, wait, that dude's got a rocket launcher? Like, an actual rocket, not... Like, that's a real-ass rocket, dude. Like, come on. That's silly. It's like a bottle rocket.
When Gatling gun guy starts firing, when he first starts firing, you look at Antonio Banderas, and he's like, yo, what the fuck? Like, I thought y'all got some upgrades, man.
Yeah, I was like, I thought we all had handguns. And like the guy with the rocket launcher. He has his own like specific pose that he does to fire.
Because like, look, this movie is again, every single movement in this film is all about style, and this dude's got mad style points, right? Like he can't just squat down, right? Nah, this dude has to lunge when he's aiming his rocket launcher suitcase.
Yeah, like, just a single leg lunge. To the side with those damn boots on that you know aren't comfortable. Get out of here. He proceeds to blow up one car, and then he uses his rocket launcher several times to blow up other people. He literally rocket launched a guy into a wall, which was lovely. But it's funny because like he gets shot, and his rocket goes up, and the other guy, who weirdly looks kind of like Mexican Johnny Depp, with the machine gun, he just proceeds to just unload on all these dudes. He kills like four or five guys. The guy with the broken leg, his life comes to an end as he tries to go after El Mariachi. And he jumps off a roof only to be shot several times on the way down.
Again, even in death, every single movement is about looking fucking badass. And he's just like, yo, if I'm going to die, fuck it. I'm going to die. Diving to the side fucking shoot, trying to shoot this dude right. while getting peppered with bullets.
Yep.
Like, because while getting juggled.
Right. We see that the one kid gets shot from earlier, dual wielding machine gun guy. He gets taken down by a guy with a shotgun, which was unfortunate. Selma Hayek runs out. She grabs the truck, and she proceeds to hit two dudes with the truck. Okay, good Lord, that's brutal. And they grab the kid and they throw him in the back and they head to a hospital. Bucho's number one guy is in the way. He's gotten fucked up. So they literally just drive right over him with a Jeep, which is unfortunate. She's like, wow. It is just ragdolled underneath the truck. They didn't even slow down to get to the hospital. It was just like, whatever.
Oh, at one point, I'm watching this thing, yo. At one point, Antonio Banderas, he's running. And there's a guy, like, making it known that he's coming for Antonio Banderas. And Antonio Banderas, while he's running, no look, just like a sweet John Stockton S behind the back pass, right? He grabs his gun, throws the bitch behind his head, bam, kills the guy, right? Like, it's so fucking cool. At one point, at 1:30:21, he hops on a car. I don't know what the fuck pose he's doing.
I don't know. It makes no sense.
He's on the hood of a car, and you know what? This is just what Antonio Banderas thought looked cool.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, fuck it.
Did it make sense? No, it doesn't make sense. Fuck you.
Hell no. And then you get a close up of his old face as he's busting off shots at these dudes. Like, come on, man. I can't understand how anyone would not like this movie.
Like, if you like action movies.
If you don't like this movie, you're a racist.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. Wow. Part of that scene that you're talking about, the behind the headshot, is doubly more impressive because he shoots the guy falls and smashes into the back window of a car. Like, so he's like, bow, and then he's like, see ya. And he's like, he dies and gets embarrassed, like, at the same time. Yeah, I don't know what that move is Banderas is doing on the car. But yeah, it just looked cool. Like, it just worked just because it did. And the guy, his buddy getting killed by the shotgun also looks cool because, like, he goes to shoot the guy with the shotgun with his machine gun, but he's out of bullets. So it makes like a guitar noise, like, oh no. And then that guy, and like the noise that they have tied to the guy's shotgun blast is actually pretty cool. And he just fucking takes like two shotguns, blast to the chest. They bring this little kid into a hospital, trying to save his life, and immediately the doctors start operating on him. And it's weird because the doctors have masks, which is crazy.
And it's weird because you just bring someone in and there's no copay, there's no proof of insurance. Like, nah, you just get operated on.
Yeah. Apparently Mexico knows what's up. They've got universal healthcare in this universe. Bernie is there. He's like, this is what I have been asking for. Too many bullets in the streets. So they eventually find Bucho's compound. And Carolina's like, I don't know if this is it. And it's like this red high wall building. And he's like, El Mariachi is like, yeah, this is it. Okay. This isn't going to be that difficult to figure out. They open the door and Bucho and the rest of his henchmen and henchwoman are all there. And you come to find out that his name is Manito. Bucho and Manito are brothers. And he's like, you know, he's talking about how, oh, you know, dad wouldn't be proud of you for doing what you're doing. You became a piece of shit like me. You were supposed to be his guitarista. And he's like, look, you killed you killed all my men because they killed the woman you love. So now we're even. But since you've been like a real pain in my ass, I'm going to kill Carolina and then make you watch. Then we'll be even. Which I'm like, that doesn't feel even to me, but okay. And he's like, I'm going to teach you a lesson. Like no big deal. And so just as he's about to kill Carolina, Manito does the guns out of the sleeves move and kills Bucho. And we assume kills everyone else there because he survives. They both survive.
It's come full circle with the fucking guns in the sleeves.
Yeah. Look, Bucho made one tragic mistake. He was like your woman you love died and you replaced her with someone else. Fucking Carolina. That's great. That's how life works. She's a real piece of work. And then he takes the gun and pushes it against her chest and was like, trust me, I know. Like, I was like, don't do that. That's how you get shot, dog. Like, don't do that. Don't disrespect that man's new girl. That's fucked up. So he then
it's a cardinal rule in action movies. If you titty fuck a girl with a gun, you gotta die.
Yeah, you gotta die. Like if you titty fuck the hero's girl, nah, you definitely gotta die. And heroes don't do that. Heroes don't titty fuck women with guns. That's not acceptable.
Yeah.
Not good heroes.
The old fashioned way.
I mean, it's as written into these movies as telling your plan to the hero before you kill them.
Right.
Yeah. If you've got a handgun and there's a hot woman, you got a titty fucker with that handgun. it's just how it goes. It's one of the cardinal sins. He kills Bucho and kills everybody there. We cut to the hospital. The kid is alive. He's okay. He tells him to keep practicing the guitar. He sees his dad, kind of like, hey, maybe stop selling drugs, you fucking idiot, so your son doesn't get killed. Then Manito and Carolina, they're in the hallway, and they're just kind of rubbing up against each other, which sounds like a great time with Selma Hayek. And he just kind of walks away and he's like, did I thank you? Which is something he said to her before. And she's like, no. He's like, I will. And then he walks off. And that's supposed to be like the cool guy ending, right? Like I don't need a chick on my arm. I'm out of here. Like, I'm just a badass. And then she smiles and I assume her panties exploded just at that moment after he walked out. And so then we see Manito walking down the street. She stops and she's like, I want my apology right now. And by apology, I mean, I need that dick gun. And he's like, you know what? You right. And then he tossed, he took one look at Selma Hayek and he tossed that guitar case, very quickly and got in. And then they drive off into the sunset and then they had the most realistic ending of all time, which is the car stops. They put it in reverse and he goes and picks up the guitar case and he was like, just in case it's a bit of a drive to the next town. Like, I'm not buying it. And then they drive off. So they're together and he has all his guns, including the dick gun. I was like, leaving that gun there would be the lamest shit ever. Like, no, fuck
right,
that.
Right. Get out of here, man.
Also, you can't just leave a guitar case full of guns like on the street. Can't do that. What if a kid finds it? And so they go off into the sunset to be in Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't really care for Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
Yeah, they kill fucking Selma Hayek. What the fuck?
Yeah, I didn't really care for that. But of the trilogy, this is, you know,
it's a high watermark. Like,
yeah, this is it. This is the good one.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, that is it for this month's episode of No Time to Bleed. Hopefully you guys enjoyed that. I guess eventually we'll have another No Time to Bleed where like we can have more people because it all depends on who has audio equipment and who does not at their house. So eventually I suppose we will get back to a normal rotation of folks. But that's it for us for this month, and we will see you guys next month for another episode.
See you.
Take it easy.
Some motherfuckers are always trying to ice skate uphill.